Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox, and this is Quiet Time Coaching. These are podcasts designed to help us to be authentic in our relationship with God, very intimate as best we can with God, and also to find a relationship with God that is truly satisfying in that deepest spiritual sense. So, today we're talking about prayer and specifically how to stand despite your sin. These are reflections inspired by Psalm 130 I preached on recently. In verse 3 of that psalm, it says, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand?" Well, who gets to stand before God confidently? Anyone? I'm not confident standing before my friends, let alone the Almighty. But I believe the scripture promises that confidence before God is available. Take these scriptures from Hebrews, for example, chapter 4, verse 16. We can approach God's throne of grace with confidence, it says. And in chapter 10, verse 19, we can have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. So that confidence sounds good, right? But is it your experience? Is it mine? Too often, I find for myself and people I speak to that confidence is lacking. So let's today talk about what gets in the way of that kind of confidence and what we can do about it. Let me take you back to when I was 13 years old. I had a very troubled conscience. One hot summer's night, I was just lying there sleepless, staring at the ceiling. And it was almost like I could see the devil's face up above me in the ceiling laughing at me. It was awful. What was going on? Well, I had a bad conscience. I'd been shoplifting for a while. I'd taken sweets and toys and magazines and books and lots of other things. Supposedly, on the outside, I was a good boy. I was a church chorister. I was a youth group member at church. My father was a Methodist lay preacher. He was the local headmaster. And what would he think if he knew? What would my mother think if she knew? But I couldn't sleep. So I pulled together all the courage I had and put on my dressing gown and headed downstairs. My parents were watching television and very surprised to see me. It was very late at night. They knew something was wrong. I remember it so clearly. I confessed all. I told them everything. And they were, of course, appalled. And we agreed on a punishment that seemed suitable. I went to bed not worried about the punishment. I went to bed not worried about the fact they now knew. I went to bed and slept in peace. That might have been the best night's sleep I've ever had. The devil's laughter was silenced and the smile wiped off his face. There was something that happened to give me that peace and now a confidence. See, the psalmist is right when he asks this rhetorical question in verse 3, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand?" But that's not God's final word. He wants a relationship with us. So, what do we do? I believe two challenges must be faced. Firstly, understanding and accepting that confidence is compromised by hidden sin, and secondly, that confidence is weakened by pretense. The psalmist knows that he and his people need forgiveness. They've got to deal with their sin. They've got to get away from pretense. In verse 4, he says, "With you there is forgiveness." And in verse 8, "He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." So he's being open here. There's no hiding. There's no pretense. He and Israel need forgiveness. They need redemption. We're in the same boat. What shall we do with our sin? Well, it might not be popular. It might be difficult, but we've got to confess it. 1 John verse 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." And look, if we've been forgiven and if we've been purified, our conscience will be clean and we will have confidence to be with God. And what about our weaknesses? Well, our weaknesses need to be admitted. And if we do, we find, what is it in Romans 8 verse 26? The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit will help us. He will help us, but only if we admit our weakness. And we'll find a sympathetic ear in Jesus. He's going to be empathetic and sympathetic. Hebrews chapter 5. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray because he himself is subject to weakness. Now, he had no sin, but he did have weakness. And so he understands. So what's the goal? The goal of confession is not providing evidence that you are a sinner. God already knows that. The goal of confession is a better relationship with him. Confession moves us back into a close relationship with the God we have offended. When Peter confessed his sinfulness in Luke 5 verse 8, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man," he expected Jesus to move away. But the opposite happened. Chapter 5 verses 10 and 11, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid.'" In other words, you can have confidence. You can be with me. "From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. They had the confidence they needed. Would you like to move closer to God than you currently are? Well, I'd say this. Confession is a crucial part of what makes intimacy possible. I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we think deep friendship will happen without confession. And confession is good news. I know it's sometimes portrayed negatively and I feel awkward about it. I don't like it, but it's good news. It's good for our spirit. And if it's good for our spirit, we can be sure it's also good for our mind, our emotions and our body. In fact, there's more and more scientific evidence mounting up that confession is healthy, even if you're not religious or spiritual or a Christian. God didn't send Jesus to the cross to punish us because of our sin, but to liberate us. Since we're free from the effects of sin, we are free from the guilt and the shame of our sin. How sad that we might hide the sin that Jesus came to forgive. Instead, why not set yourself free today? Confess your sin, admit your weaknesses, and set yourself free to enjoy the good news of forgiveness by bringing your sin into the light. So, a couple of concluding thoughts. Firstly, pray for greater sensitivity towards sin. Take time each morning to ask God for spiritual soberness and to have the humility of heart to accept your sin of the previous day. Pray for people who sin against you. Holding them in compassionate prayer may help you to confess your own sins. Passages in Matthew 5 verses 44 and Colossians 3 verses 12 to 14 might also help. And beware of compulsive confession. If you find yourself compulsively confessing with no sense of relief, then talk to a friend. Talk it over. You might find articles on the Mind and Soul website helpful. So, just to finish off, I've got a question for you. What helps you to confess your sin and to admit your weakness? What actually makes it easier, or maybe even what makes it harder? What advice would you give to people like me who struggle with confession and admission of weakness? Do you have any words of wisdom, any scriptures, any ideas? Please leave a comment below. Please do leave a comment. It makes such a difference if we can interact here and hear each other's thoughts, because we all have different perspectives and we've learned different things in life. God's taught us different things, and we learn best when we learn in community. So please leave a comment below. Thank you so much for doing that. And one last question, one last request. Pass this on, would you? Please pass this on to one other person, just one other person, one friend, somebody, a family member, someone in your church, someone in your social circle who you think might benefit from this particular podcast or in general from the blogs and the podcasts on my website, malcolmcox.org. I'd be very grateful. And in that way, we can spread the news and help other people to get into a closer, more intimate, authentic and satisfying relationship with God. Many thanks. And until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless.